Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
The clock is counting down, please tell me what you're gonna do. Just being a witness, giving attention to the truth. They conspire to hide the identity from you. Many are offended, we exposing how they do you.
They don't love us as a whole, they don't love us. It's a small remnant of them that got some love for us. Love not an emotion, it's defined by the word. Read 1 Corinthians 13, then observe. Love always rejoice when justice is won. Cops killing Hebrews, there been no justice from one. If your soul don't ache, then you're faking the fun. All that love is undone, see they thought that we was done.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Tell me where your conscience go when you came to this land. Ship look like a bunch of sardines sitting in the can. Some say that they African, others say American. Or they slap them both together, look at how we join the hands. This one for my ancestors under the attack. Picking cotton in the sun, long hours breaking sweat. Fly to me with Section 8, dump me in them projects. Imagine that, they just trying to keep the yoke up on our neck. But you found out you a brute, not another project. Why we curse? Cause our fathers tweaked and broke the contract. Let's reverse all these curses and continue being blessed. Kumbaya, hear ya, how we come by ya, I'm no longer distressed.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome again to Israel Now Radio. This is your host, Yahshua. Just want to say, first and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. Want to thank everybody for calling in, listening in, those who will listen in the future to the archives. Always know, at any time, you can always go and listen to our archives, all the different radio shows that we have done, you know, throughout the years by going to blogtalkradio.com. /Yahshua, which is YAHSHUAH. You'll be able to pull up all of our old shows that we did all the way back from 2010 when me and Elishua started this show. And so you can pull all them up. We had a lot of different great teachings, a lot of different great discussions all the way up until, you know, today. We took a pause for a couple of few years and then you know, came back, but it's many, many more shows, you know, from week after week. We used to do it over the years, so different debates we had with fake Jews, people in Judaism, so-called rabbis, just different things like that. A lot of things that will be edifying to the people, especially the people that's new to this doctrine, new to this information of who we are and these commandments, different things like that. I know when you're still new to it, at least for some people that I ran into in the past, the obvious question is, where if you're Israel, then who are these other people that the world calls Israel? Just different things like that. So you're able to hear both sides of the story. That's what I always encourage people to do. Whenever you're deciding, whenever you're seeking and searching for truth, first of all, you want to pray to the Most High for understanding, that the Most High can open your understanding. You also want to get rid of the blinders or the blindfolds that's been put on you through this society. Don't come in assuming the way that you grew up was right. Don't assume things that you heard was right just because you heard it, just because your, you know, people you're around used to say it, your mother used to say it, you heard it in church. Don't assume that. Because as we know, as you begin to seek and search for truth, you find out that most of the things that we were told were not true. Whether they were intentional lies or the people themselves that told us were deceived. Sometimes they just telling us what they know, what was told to them, with no bad intent. But nobody never stopped to search these things out. So in order to seek and search for real truth, you have to have an open mind, and you have to be able to look at things from a whole new perspective. So that's my bit of advice for everybody that's new. But a few announcements again. Always join us and fellowship with us. Israel Now, Cincinnati, Ohio. Every Sabbath day at 2 p.m. We're located at 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, 2 p.m. every Sabbath day. Come and fellowship with us. You know what I mean? Come and build with your people. We're definitely trying to build. Come fellowship with our brothers down in Fort Worth, Texas. Hit us up on Facebook at Israel Now, all right, with two W's. We'll be able to get all the information to you there. We have another fellowship with our brothers and sisters down in Louisville, Kentucky, all right? Close family together. So we're building. We're building not a religion. We're not building a cult. We're building a righteous remnant that will be pleasing to the Most High Yah. Because what my goal is in this ministry is for all those that are connected with us, for all those that are, you know, under the teachings of Israel Now, that fellowship with us, that have any type of dealings with us, for our, when the Messiah come back, for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to each and every one of us. And that's our goal. And that's our only goal. All right, so we don't have a goal of how much money we want to raise this year, this month. We don't have those type of goals as far as trying to, because we know that the Most High will take care of our needs. So we have faith in the Most High. We come together. We do what we got to do. We take care of ourselves. We do the things that we have to do as a community, as a body, and as a people, and that's how it should be. Everybody play their certain role. Nobody try to step over somebody else's boundary, over somebody else's role, somebody else's position, because we don't operate in the spirit of carnality, not in the spirit of lust, not in the spirit of envy or jealousy or anything that the Most High commanded us not to be, not in the spirit of covetousness against our brothers and sisters. So we realize we are all one body, and the Almighty has given us different gifts, and we all have to put those gifts together and operate as one body. So I'm going to check my call line because I did have I don't know if the brother's going to call in. I don't know his number, but if the brother's on the line that we had talked about on Facebook, that he wanted to call in and deal with some things about baptism, push number one, and I will get you right online. If not, I'm not even going to talk about baptism today. But the brother did have some statements he wanted to say concerning baptism. So I told him, hey, call in. We could talk about it. We could talk about it like brothers. And, you know, deal with the issues. But we have the new year coming up. We have these holy days coming up. We're going to get ready for it. You know, Israel Now, we're going to be celebrating this thing together with our brothers in Cincinnati, also our brothers in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to all come together in Cincinnati. We're going to all come together and make it a great day, a great feast, and do everything we have to do. But actually, I'm going to talk about Passover a little bit, deal with that. And if anybody want to call in, you know, have a comment, question, you can definitely do that. And I can feel whatever question or comment that you may have, whether it's concerning, you know, what I'm talking about today or not. You know, we're going to open it up as always as well for that as well. But I'm going to start, I'm going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 15. And, you know, every year, Passover is a great, great holiday. It's actually our holy day. It's actually my favorite holy day. It's very special to me. Matthew 15 chapter, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, Then came to Yahawashah scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition? And so this is what the Messiah is telling them. You know, they are transgressing the commandments of the Most High by their what? By their tradition. All right. So we know that Passover is a commandment and it is not a tradition. So what we do not want to do is not keep the Passover and instead keep something different during that season. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because this chapter that I'm going to now is where will be pretty much what I'm going to speak from concerning Passover. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to see what Paul said, and then we're going to, you know, let the scripture speak concerning what was Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, for ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So Paul is saying, look, let's keep the feast of the Passover, right, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he says in verse 7 that purge ye out the old leaven, for ye are a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So why did Paul say Christ, our Passover? All right, why did he say Christ is our Passover and he sacrificed for us? So what was Paul talking about? All right, let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus, the 12th chapter. And I'll read the 5th verse. Exodus 12 and 5. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So the Passover lamb, all right, that animal that our people killed thousands of years ago, the Passover lamb, it shall be a male without blemish. So what does it mean when the scriptures say without blemish? That means you pick the lamb that's nothing is wrong with it, all right? Everything is perfect about that lamb. All right, it's not too big, meaning it's not too fat. It's not too, you know, one leg is not longer than the other. The lamb has no nothing abnormal about the lamb. One of his eyes is not messed up. The eyes are not different colors. So that's what I mean without blemish. They have to inspect this lamb, all right, and they have to make sure everything about this lamb is right to be used as the Passover lamb to be sacrificed, all right? So all of these things were spiritual precepts according to the Messiah being our Passover. Remember, Paul said Christ is our Passover. All right, so what the Almighty was showing us
all the way back during the days of Moses, he was showing us that these spiritual precepts that the lamb was actually pointing to, the real lamb, the original lamb, when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim that taketh away the sins of the world." Well, who was he talking about? He was talking about the Messiah, Yahweh Shah. He wasn't talking about, you know, no lamb as far as the animal. All right, so let's hold that place. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. And, you know, we can pretty much see, because remember how the scripture talks about these things are a shadow of things to come. All right, but let me get to the book of Hebrews real quick. I'm going to get to the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. I'll read the last verse. Hebrews 9 and 28. It says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. All right? He only had to offer himself one time to bear the sin of many, to bear the sin of the world, all right? He don't have to go in every single year after year during the Day of Atonement, every feast day. He don't have to die every Passover. His blood was sufficient to die one time, all right? But then look at the latter part of that. It says, shall he appear? Actually, I'm going to read the whole verse. Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him, all right? We are looking for him because we believe in Yahweh Shah, the Messiah, all right? Those that look for him, shall he appear the second time unto without sin unto salvation. So for those that look for him, he's going to appear a second time. That second time, he's going to come and set up that kingdom, all right, with unto salvation. But notice what it says. He shall appear a second time, because we know that he came the first time when? 2,000 years ago. He came the first time 2,000 years ago. He's going to come the second time to set up this kingdom. So that in and of itself will let you know all these congregations that's been teaching you that Christ came like 6 to 7 different times is a total lie. He came one time, all right, because he's going to appear a second time, Paul says in the book of Hebrews, all right, 2,000 years ago. He's talking about he's going to appear a second time. All right, but we have people out there teaching our people that what? That Christ was really Adam. He was King Solomon. He was Isaac. He was like 5 or 6 different people throughout the Old Testament. Then he was also himself in the New Testament. So when you add them all up, they say he came about 6 different times. All right, you can't find that nowhere. It's because most of these people that are teaching the scriptures shouldn't be teaching the scriptures. All they did was repeat what somebody else said and never vetted the information, never really even understood the information. They heard it and they started teaching it. All right. Don't teach nothing unless you have a grasp of it. All right. We have too many scriptures to go against that. Back to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. Actually, let's go to Exodus. Back to Exodus chapter 12. Just looking at some spiritual precepts here concerning the Messiah, concerning him being our Passover. Exodus 12 and verse 6, it says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So the Passover, right, that lamb was supposed to be kept up until the 14th day of the month, and it was supposed to be killed in the evening, all right? Killed in the evening. So let's go to Matthew chapter 26. We'll just see when the Passover was happening during that day and during that time, all right? Now, we know that the Passover was supposed to be killed on the 14th day of the first month, supposed to be killed in the evening, but the Messiah was also killed on the 14th day of the first month in the evening. So here's the correlation, just back and forth. We could go back and forth all day. But let's just hit Matthew 26 and verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Yahweh Shah had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." So you see that? The Passover lamb was killed on the 14th day of the first month. Then he says here, that, look, in 2 days the Passover is coming, and I, the Son of Man, right, will be betrayed to be crucified. When? On the Passover. On the Passover night. All right? Because the Passover is kept at evening. So they, so all this stuff happened in that evening. All right? So he kept the Passover. After he kept the Passover, he was killed. All right? So back to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to pick up at the 7th verse this time. Let me go back to Exodus 12. See what we have now. Everything is pointing towards a greater redemption. All right? That lamb was nothing but a temporary covering into the true lamb of the Most High King. That's why John the Baptist knew it. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim that taketh away the sins of the world." All right? Exodus 12 and 7. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." All right, so they took the blood and they struck it, right? And we know that that blood that they took, when the death angel came and seen that blood, what happened? He passed over their houses. What's going to happen to us during the day of judgment when the Almighty looks at our life and see us keeping the commandments, see us trying to do the best we can to keep all of his laws and to keep his Sabbath day and to worship the Almighty Yahweh and Yahweh only? But again, Yahweh is not one person. It's the Father, whose name is Yah. It's the Son, whose name is Yahweh Shah. And it's the Holy Spirit, whose name is Wah. All consist of Yahweh Elohim, which is a plural name and a plural title. All right, so we should worship no one else but Yahweh Elohim. All right, and so when we're doing all these things that the Most High required of us, the Almighty is merciful, and his mercy endures forever. And the scripture says he have mercy unto those that keep love him and keep his commandments. So that means those that love him and keep his commandments, when they fall short, then that's what they cover by the blood of Yahweh Shah HaMashiach. Likewise, back in the days of the Passover, when they put that blood over the house and the Most High seen that blood, the Most High said, "These are my people. They're obeying my word." The death angel is going to pass over this house, and the firstborn is going to die in the next house that don't have the blood there. All right? So we see the parallelism all throughout the scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews 9. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. And this is something we're just looking at, how these things are a shadow of things to come, and how many of our people who are not spiritual but reading this book with a carnal mind and reading this book to be a sword only, you know what I mean, only to cut. So, you know, we can cut doctrines all day long, but this book is used, these scriptures are used to cut, these scriptures are used to build up, these scriptures are used to tear down, these scriptures are used for love, these scriptures are used for everything that we need them for. The Almighty gave it to us in the scriptures. All right, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto Elohim, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim?" So look at that. When it says he offered himself without spot, that's synonymous of when we say have a lamb without blemish, meaning he offered himself and he was sinless. All right, that's what the without blemish is seeking to, is looking forward to in the future. It's showing that, look, this person is going to come, that our Passover will be without sin. All right, he'll be without sin. And what's so odd is, Westernized Christianity has taught us that the Messiah came to do away with the law, but to be very clear, he actually came and gave us more laws. He actually came and said, "Look, you got to keep the laws that are already there. I'm not coming to do away with any of those laws," but he brought those same laws even on a higher level, right? Because Moses said, "Don't commit adultery." But the Messiah said, "Look, if you even look at another man's wife with adultery,
to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. Because that's where it starts at. Everything, when it comes to those matters, it started in your heart. It started with you lusting after. It started with all these different things, right? That's what it started with, right? So we got to get that in check. When we get our heart in check, we have no problem with that, with that issue. And that's what it's about. So he brought it on a higher level. But those that don't understand the scriptures, those who the Most High have not blessed to give his spirit to understand, to read, to teach, to instruct through his word, they'll read the same thing and say, oh, he came to get rid of the laws. And it makes no sense. No, he brought the laws on a much higher level. On a much higher level. And that's what we need to begin to operate in. So there'll be no problems among us. No problems among us. As long as you are operating with your brothers and sisters by the fruits of the Spirit, right? That's what we're supposed to do, operate by the fruits of the Spirit, all right? We may not always get along every single time, every single day, but they are brother and our sister just like any other family. Going to have trials, going to have tribulation, but we got to get through it. And it's a way that we get through it according to the scriptures, all right? We go to that person, talk it out personally. If not, we go to the elders and we, you know, sit down and we have a council together. And even if it's decided that, hey, these people just may not speak with each other much, we still got love, we still brothers and sisters, but we'll pretty much just not have tight dealings with each other, right? But the scripture says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not have a grudge against the children of your people, right? So we got to always keep these things in mind in every single thing that we do. Right, we got to keep these things in mind. What the Most High was talking about, whatever you measure unto your brethren will be measured unto you. Right, so if you look at your brother like, you know, he made an honest mistake, and you like, I'm never going to forgive him for that. Then you come to the Most High on the day of judgment, and the Most High said, whatever you measure shall be measured unto you. We got to know that, and we got to take these into consideration, because the Almighty is watching every single thing we do. His eyes go through to and fro throughout the earth and watches all the acts of man, whether they be righteous or whether they be unrighteous. And there are rewards for all, you know. So for me personally, when I have different discrepancies or whatever, and honestly, I don't have many discrepancies. Teaching the truth, you're going to have enemies, because that's just how it is. You wouldn't be teaching the truth if you didn't. You know, but my enemies are enemies to me, but not so much I'm an enemy to them, because the Almighty, as long as you standing in righteousness and you walking upright with the Almighty will take care of your battles. The Almighty will take care of all these different things. And I've honestly witnessed that through the years. Different things, I never even had to fight battles, you know, just stay on the course. Stay focused, stay righteous, stay on what the Almighty calls you to do. We're too busy. We have too much stuff to do. We're trying to get prepared for the last days. We got to raise our children right. We got to, you know what I mean, get everything together with our wives, our household, with the ministry. Keep waking up the lost sheep. Keep waking up and accepting anyone from any nation that was willing to serve the Almighty and willing to come and submit and learn under the true children of Israel. All right, so that's one thing about us. We don't cast off any nation of people. We don't cast off the Gentiles that want to know the truth. Why? Because in the scriptures, they didn't cast them off. I can clearly read Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius was a Gentile and wasn't cast off. I can clearly read Acts chapter 15. I can clearly read Acts chapter 2, where all the Jews came from all these different lands. But there are also what? Proselytes, right? There were also proselytes. You know, there was also all throughout the book, you know, I could read about Titus. Father was a Greek. To what that make him? A Greek. Well, maybe I'm talking about Timothy. Father was a Greek and his mother was a Israelite. So all through the book, I could clearly read about Philip. You know, Philip baptized who? The Ethiopian eunuch. All right. And people try to make all these people still Israelites when they clearly say what their nationality is. An Ethiopian eunuch is just that, an Ethiopian eunuch, all right? He's not an Israelite scattered to Ethiopia. He's an Ethiopian eunuch, you know? So because when the Israelites were scattered, according to Acts chapter 2, guess what they were called? Jews from these certain lands.
if the Ethiopian was a Jew living in Ethiopia, the scripture would have said he's a Jew from Ethiopia, just as it said in Acts chapter 2. It said Jews from Patros named like 7-8 different lands, but they were still called Jews. All right. So book of Exodus, chapter 12. We're going to read verse 10 this time. Again, anybody online, if you want to talk, if you want to chime in, chat about anything, just go ahead and get hit with number one. I'll get you online. But book of Exodus, chapter 12. Let me get there, and I'm going to read verse number 10 and just see how this is matching up to Yahawashah HaMashiach. All right, Exodus 12 and 10 reads, "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." So in the book of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 10, he's talking about that same Passover lamb after they roast it with fire, right, and they eat it. Then the Most High said, "Do not let any of it remain until the morning. Whatever remains till the morning, you burn with fire." Don't let none of the Passover lamb remain till the morning. So what is he talking about? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. Let's just get some understanding. So we killed the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month at even, right? And so we kept the Passover at even. Even means night as well. And so that whole night we kept the Passover. And then the instructions from the Most High was, do not let any of it remain until the morning. So when the morning came, we was not to leave any of that Passover lamb or dinner until the morning. And if there was some that was not eaten that was left until the morning, we didn't eat it then. We just burned it with fire. Okay? Why? Why is the Almighty telling us this? Don't let it remain until the morning. What's the significance about that? What is he trying to teach us and show us concerning these things? Deuteronomy chapter 21, I'm going to read verse 22 and 23. "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree." So if a man be put to death and he be hung on a tree, verse 23, "His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that hanged, or for he that is hanged is accursed of Elohim, that thy land be not defiled, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance." So the Most High said, look, if someone hangs on a tree, their body shall not remain when all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him. So their body cannot remain all night upon that tree. Okay? Book of Acts, chapter 5. How is this relevant? So we got two scriptures, right? First we have Passover lamb shall not be left until the morning. Okay? Because it was kept during the nighttime. The Passover is a feast that's kept during the whole night. Don't leave the lamb until the morning. Then the Almighty gave us a law and said what? Anyone that's hung on a tree is cursed of the Most High. And remember what happened to the true children of Israel all throughout America in slavery? They hung us on trees. Why? Because we were cursed by the Most High. And it was a definite sign that we were cursed by the Most High. All of these things that the Most High prophesied was going to happen to his people happened to us and us only. Right? Put on slave ships with yokes of iron on our neck. Right? Our young men is like a wild bull in a net at the head of every corner, as the book of Isaiah says. The head of every corner is the head of the street corners, like a wild bull in a net. Right? The book of the scripture talks about how the children of Israel, the woman hair wouldn't grow anymore like it used to in the days past. Right? So now a lot of women have to hair these different hair weaves and all these different things. Everything fits us like a T. Right? And people don't know it. Why? Because they don't read the book, and they don't read the book and go to true teachers that were sent by the Most High to teach his word. Right? But the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, let's see how the Messiah died. What happened to him? It says, the Elohim of our fathers, raised up Yahawashah, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. So the Messiah was actually hung on a tree, contrary to popular belief. All right? He was hung on a tree when he died. And the book of Deuteronomy let us know that what? He that is hung on the tree is cursed of the Most High. Why was he cursed? He was cursed because he took on all of our sins. He took the death that all of us was worthy of doing. So we said Moses came with the law. He came with grace and truth. What does grace mean? Grace means unmerited favor. It means you get time to get it right. Right? You have time. He came with that grace and truth. Because remember, in Moses' day, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. They brought him to the Most High and they killed him right then that day. What does that mean? Have anybody under the sound of my voice ever broke the Sabbath at one point in time in their life? But you found grace in the sight of the Most High, Yahweh. You found time to get it right. You found time to meet some brothers and sisters that could teach you the truth. You found time to get this thing right. But you could have been dead 5, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, however many years ago. Oh, you broke the Sabbath. That's it. You're done. Right? So grace don't mean we can do whatever we want to do and not do to what the Most High Yah says. It means, look, I am merciful. I'm giving you some time to get this thing right. But time is going to run out one day, right? Punishment still come, though, you know, even in the midst of this, especially when you know to do good. All right, so we see whoever's hung on the tree is cursed of the Most High. We see the Messiah was hung on the tree. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Try to make this all make sense. Matthew chapter 27. I'll start at verse 57 through 59. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 through 59. Says, when the even was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Yahawashah's disciple. All right? So this is when the Messiah died, right? And this rich man came who was one of his disciples. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Yahawashah. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. So he went to Pilate to beg the body of the Messiah. Why? Because the Messiah is dead right now, hanging on the tree. Verse 59, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth. All right? So he took the body down and wrapped it in the linen cloth. Why did he beg the body? Like, I got to get this body down. Because he didn't want the body to remain all night on the tree. Everything that was done according to the Messiah was done according to what we read in the scriptures, what we read in the law, what we read in the prophets, what we read all throughout the scriptures. Everything was done. All of these acts that were done were not done by mere coincidence. Right? So let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to pick up at the 13th verse. So that's why the Most High told Moses, look, make sure you make this temple and make everything the way I showed you in the mountain. Because everything that was done was actually pointed to something greater. The temple on earth was a replica of the temple in heaven. The menorah on earth was a replica of the menorah in heaven, right? So men on earth, Israelite men, is a replica of the Most High Yah in heaven, all right? The women on earth is a replica of Yah in heaven. Everything back and forth, right? From the eagles to cherubs in heaven, to lions to cherubs in heaven that look like lions. Everything. That's why it says, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So it's supposed to be a holy thing on earth that looks just like it looks in heaven. All right? And we were the individuals to bring that about. So Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 13. It says, and the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So when the Most High see the blood, he's going to pass over us, right, when he smite the land of Egypt. And we already know what's that symbolic of all through the scripts, right? The blood of the Messiah is what redeems us. The blood of the Messiah is what saves us, right? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. All right, let's go to the book of Galatians. Kind of skipping around. Galatians chapter 2. I'll go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2 and verse number 17. It says, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? Elohim forbid." So remember, Christ is a title, right? So some of these people, Christ is the minister of sin. Because as he said here, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin. Then he say, Elohim forbid, meaning Elohim forbid that Christ be used as the minister of sin. While we're seeking to be justified by Christ, we're also sinning, right? That's not what we're supposed to do, seek to be justified by Christ while we're in the midst of sin and continuing to sin, because Christ is not the minister of sin. Elohim forbid that. But the Christian Christ is the minister of sin. How do we know? Because while they seek to be justified by Christ, they're found to be sinners. And when the sin is pointed to them and say, look, the Sabbath day is when you're supposed to have a holy convocation. That's when we're supposed to gather together, not the first day of the week, which is Sunday. What do? They still go to the mall on the Sabbath day and still go to church on the first day of the week and get out and still don't keep it as a Sabbath day. So themselves are found to be sinners while they seek to be justified by Christ. Elohim forbid. So Paul says here, Elohim forbid that that happen. All right, and that's a condemnation on the whole Christian community from the top to the bottom, right? And I'm speaking to our people, the Israelites who are Christians, the so-called African-American who are Christians, right? Because you are the people that the Most High commanded to keep these commandments, to keep these laws, to keep these statutes. You're the people that I'm speaking to. You just don't know that you're Israel. But the minute that you search, the scriptures is all about you, and the scriptures is all about your forefathers, your foremothers, your ancestors making a covenant with the Most High Yahweh. And everything that's happening to you on a collective level in this earth right now in the day is a result of our forefathers breaking the commandments that the Almighty and breaking the covenant that they made with the Most High Yahweh. Everything on a collective level. Everything that happened to us on a collective level is a result of that. All right, book of 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Yahawashah Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected, whereby know we that we are in him." This is how we know that we know him. This is how we know that we are in him, and he is in us, right? When we keep his commandments. All right, we cannot say the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and everything that the Most High said to do, we don't do. Everything that the Most High said to do, we are against. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit, as the scripture says, that operates in the children of disobedience, Who are the children of disobedience? The children of Israel. And what is that spirit called according to Scripture? It's called the spirit of error. E-R-R-O-R, the spirit of error. Meaning everything that is truthful and right, they seem to get wrong. This is how we know who has the spirit of error. We can come to them. We're on the seventh day of the week. They keep the first day of the week. We keep the Almighty's calendar. They keep the Gentiles' calendar. We're doing Passover. They're doing Easter. We're doing a Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're doing Lent. Right? We're doing a Feast of Weeks. They're doing an Advent. We're doing a Feast of Tabernacles. They're doing Halloween. Spirit of error that operates in the children of disobedience. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So in the Messiah is no sin. And what did he come for? He was manifested, meaning he came into this world. He was manifested to take away our sins. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him." So if you abide in him, you sin not, meaning you keep these commandments. You keep these commandments to the best of your ability, right? And you keep these commandments. You're keeping the new moons, right? You're keeping the dietary law. And now we got to focus on the greatest commandments, which is love of the Most High Yahweh and love of our brothers and our sisters who we see every day. So there will be no contention among us, no strife among us, no bitterness, no slander, no backbiting, no any of that stuff. Because we shouldn't talk about each other, right? We shouldn't be slanderers against one another. We shouldn't be backbiters against one another. We shouldn't do any of that. Right? We should all operate in the spirit of truth with one another, in the spirit of love and fellowship and unity. We should all operate in the spirit of, as the scriptures call, the fruits of the spirit. And we should know them by their fruits, right? We know everybody by their fruits. Everybody is known by their works, right? We see a person every day, every week, every new moon, every Sabbath day, every time we sin, we know how these people are, right? We spend time with each other after this. We support each other and all these different things, but we get to know each other when we know who each other are, right? And so we got to operate in a certain way. We got to operate in a certain light. And remember, the Almighty said, whatever measure you give unto your brother and your sister, and at least among the children of Israel, is what measure he will give unto you. So we all should operate among each other in a certain sort of fear and reverence one towards another. Because we are the Almighty's people. We. 1 John chapter 3. Right there where we at. Let's pick up in verse 8 and 9. It says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Elohim was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Elohim doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of Elohim." So he cannot sin because why? He is born of Elohim. He is born of the Most High, meaning all the things that is in him is pleasing unto the Most High, meaning he likes to do the things that is pleasing to the Most High, right? So people look at us and they say, man, how do y'all be there all day? How do you go to the synagogue and be there all day? Because these things are pleasing unto us. Why are they pleasing unto us? Because a part of the Almighty Spirit, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, actually lives within us, right? It actually lives within us in a small measure. I know people don't like to hear that, but it's in a small measure. Because if it was in a big measure, we'll be shining real bright. Our people wouldn't be able to look at us, and our countenance would change, and all these different things. Just as when the Messiah rose and they couldn't hardly recognize him because he had more of it on him. Just like when Moses was up in the mountain with the Most High and he had to wear a veil over his face, right? Because the children of Israel couldn't even look at him anymore because he was with the Most High up on the mountain for 40 days. And when he came down, he was totally different. That in order to protect his people, he had to cover his face now. And he was just a man that they looked at every day. All right? So the Most High Spirit lives within us, right? And so therefore, the things that we like to do has now become, oh, I like reading the scriptures. I like studying these scriptures and breaking it down. I like keeping the Sabbath day. I like doing everything that we do. I love our Hebrew culture, right? And all these different things. So the day actually don't be long enough. So it's not a long time for us. So we have Christian churches right now in the city. I know of some, they advertising, you'll be in and out in 45 minutes. You know, because that appeals to the carnal-minded people. That appeals to the people who do not have the Most High Spirit. They don't have no time for the Most High and the things of the Most High Yahweh. Right? We just getting warmed up. We not even getting warmed up in 45 minutes. But they're saying you're going to go to church at 10, be out at 10:45 every Sunday. Or 11 for sure. You know? They're actually advertising it like that. So you have no time to spend with the Most High. You get the Most High 45 minutes. You get the Most High an hour. That's it. Right? So 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 18. 1 John 5 and 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of Elohim sinneth not, but he that is begotten of Elohim keepeth himself. And that wicked one touches him not. So it said, he that is born of Elohim does what? Keepeth himself. What does it mean to keep himself? It means to guard yourself, guard what you do, so others don't have to, right? So leadership and all these different things. So your brother don't have to, and other people don't have to, because what we're supposed to be doing, the scriptures are supposed to be a mirror unto us. Every morning when you get up and you're getting ready to go, you get ready to go to work, you look in the mirror first, right? And you check yourself out first to see if you look presentable to go out into the world, right? The scriptures is the same thing. When we read these scriptures, don't think of anybody else first. Whatever these scriptures say, think of yourself first. Think, am I holding up to this? When the Messiah said, get the log out of your own eye first before you get it out of your brother, before you even speak to him. Everything that we read, everything that you're being taught, everything that's being understood, think about yourself first and say, am I holding up to this? Can I do better? Right? And then you get yourself together. Then you can help your brother. Right? Because people are going to look at you if you're saying something to them and your situation is not right, then they're going to say, Israel don't accept things like that. Well, wait a minute, they're just going to point out your faults, right? So get your stuff together and be an example to your people, right? So we don't operate in the spirit of religion, which many other Israelite congregations do. And I tell people all the time, some of these congregations are businesses. Some of them are religions. We're not either. So we operate like a family. The Most High wanted us to, and the Most High chose us to, but we got positions. We got leaders. We got non-leaders. We got pastors. We got, you know, these certain things like that was laid down by the apostles as far as a pastor, a deacon, and different things like that. We don't use those titles like officer and captain and different things like that. Not that those titles are not in the scriptures. Not that those titles can't be seen throughout the pages of the Old Testament, because they can't. But why don't we use those titles today? Because those titles were set up for Israel as a nation. We're not a nation right now. We are a people just waking up to who we are. We don't operate as a nation. Everything we do, everything we got, we still got to go to the Gentiles to get it. When we in our own land, that's where those titles came in at, because we were governing ourselves and we had judges that actually sit on a judgment seat, right? When any man had to take another man to court by the law, they had to go before the judges. We had officers and we had captains and different things like that. Just as in America, you have police, you have sheriff, you have judges, that's what we had as well. But when we have these little small individual congregations of people and not a whole nation, we set it up according to what we see in the scriptures in the New Testament. We have pastors, right? We have deacons. We have different things like that, all right? We have, and we can put in play whatever we need. But that other stuff is for the nation, and we are in no need, indeed not a nation right now, because we're not operating like a nation. We're so separate. All these congregations are separate and don't even speak to each other, right? We have no real dealings with each other. We have no real set up organizations with each other as far as hierarchy and different things like that. Well, how can we handle situations that arise among our people? You know, we had cases where we see different sisters getting abused by different Israelite men and different things like that. Well, back in the day, we had our own nation. We would have handled that. Now, what do we do? Type about it on Facebook, and that's the most you can do. So, no, we're not a nation. Don't fool yourself thinking we are a nation, right? So we're still governed by these Gentiles until the true Messiah, our true Redeemer, makes that second entrance. Not the third entrance, not the fourth, not the fifth, not the sixth, but the second entrance, right, into this earthly realm and set up that thousand-year kingdom. At that point, we'll be a nation again. At that point, we'll have a king again. At that point, we'll be governing ourselves under our king. And at that point, we will be judging our own people. And if somebody commits something, we're able to act out the judgment. Then people are not going to be so quick to do whatever now, right? Because all these things will be carried out. It'll be punishments. Remember in the scriptures, it was like, what, 40 lashes? Even for grown men, you know, you're doing stuff, you're out of order, you get 40 lashes. But not to exceed that. Or you have hate for your brother. You're trying to beat him to death. All right, so all these things will come back into play when the kingdom is set up under the Messiah, whose true name is Yahweh Shah. So definitely just take these things into consideration. We got to learn to love each other. We got to learn to get along. It's a nation of people. And I say it all the time. I'll say it again. So we got the Midwest Brew Out coming up. Cincinnati, Ohio, February the 22nd through the 24th. All of those within the sound of my voice need to come out. Let's build together like we're literally building together. We're actually building things. In the words of Marcus Garvey, he said, any leadership that teaches you to rely solely on your oppressors for everything is a leadership that will enslave you. And that's absolute truth. So what we're trying to do is rely on each other. We're trying to practice group economics. We're trying to practice as much as possible. Anything you have, we got a few akim that sell wine. If you like wine and you drink wine, why would you buy it from your oppressors? Why don't you buy it from one of our akim, right? Everybody had to wear, everybody need hair products. Why don't you get it from our sister instead of buying it from your oppressor? All right, just different things like that. We got to change our mind state. We have to change our mind state. And these people are making things that are good for us, no contaminants in them and all these different things. So it should be exclusively supporting each other on purpose. And then when you as an individual, if you're not doing nothing for the nation right now and as far as selling any product that's needed, when you figure out your niche and what's needed among our people, because we need everyday things, and you're able to make that, and you're able to provide that, and then we're going to support you. And now all of our dollars is circling around, right? Everybody got to wash up every day. Everybody got soap. We got sisters that make soap. Why are we buying Dove soap and Irish Spring from our oppressors, which most of that has unclean things in it and unclean animals, when we could get it from our sisters? That's what it's about. You're not a nation until you're doing that. You're not even becoming a nation until you're doing that, right? Being a nation is just not, I know I'm Israel. That's not a nation. Now let me go and get my water from the Europeans. Let me go get my food from the Arabs. Let me go to every other nation. It's not a nation, right? So all we're doing is trying to wake up. We're trying to support our people. We know we're going to be in this condition until the Messiah comes back, but it don't have to be as bad as it is, right? We can live to a certain level. We can live very good even in the land of captivity. All right, people don't understand those scriptures, right? So we won't be lending to the Gentiles. We could be in a much better place than we are right now, a much better place as a nation of people. So Israel Now, we're always willing to work with our people, any and all of our people, from any congregation, any camp, any group, anything, and
Not many people are saying that. There's some that are saying it. I'm not going to say I'm we're the only one to saying that we wouldn't work, we will work with our people, but there's a whole lot that say they won't. And you don't want to be around those people anyway, because they're in a religion and they out for it for self, and they have no real love for the people, and they're in it to manipulate, and they're in it to rule and lord over people and try to get people to serve them, right? Not serve the Most High Yahweh. And that's just what it is. And we have to know that, and we have to recognize that, right? So a lot of our people been in the streets before they came into the truth. It's the same game you got to recognize when you come into the truth. It's the exact same game. You know when someone's telling you the truth or not. You know when someone has ulterior motives or not. Just watch their moves, you know? And don't let anyone deceive you. Don't be deceived. So what I want to do, you know, we're going to get this brew out next month. You know, after that, and even before that, we're going to start planning for, you know, this Passover time, Feast of Unleavened Bread time. Feast of Unleavened Bread, just so y'all know, the Passover, I think it was on a, it's going to fall on like a Thursday night. So Feast of Unleavened Bread comes right after that. It lasts 7 days. So that Sabbath day, well, when the first Sabbath day right there, when the Feast of Unleavened Bread is when we're going to come together with Israel Now, Cincinnati, Israel Now, Louisville. We're going to meet in Cincinnati. We all going to be together. You know what I mean? We're going to have a great time. We're going to make it real great, real special. We got to really hype up these holy days that the Most High commanded us to do. You know what I mean? We can't push our events that we're throwing and planning and not push and uplift the Almighty's holy days, all right? When I read in the scriptures during certain days and certain kings, it say all of Israel, like thousands upon thousands, came to the Passover, and it was so big, and there was no Passover like it in all these different things. So that's what we want to have, and that's what we want to do. We want to uplift these things and show forth the praises of the Most High and show the Most High that we're His people and that we're willing to do whatever the Almighty wants us to do, that we're willing to keep these commandments, and we're bringing it back as in the days of old, and we got to show love among our people, and that's first and foremost. You know, I feel like our people love the Most High, but as the scripture said, how can we love the Most High and hate our brother who we see every day? We got to have that real relationship with our brother and sister. All right, if any problem, we got to take it to them. We all got to be cool and humble enough to accept correction and all this different stuff. So that's what we have to do. That's what we're going to start doing. And, you know, just take it on the chin and keep it rolling, because it's all in love. So with that being said, you know, I kind of wanted to present a few of these scriptures today dealing with this whole Passover thing that's coming up. And we'll get into that a little more as well as time go by. As we get closer to the Passover, we'll deal with all the different ins and out of it, what we should eat, what we should have for the Passover, what are the different laws concerning Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, how we have to eat the leaven for 7 days and all this different stuff. So everybody will be very clear on the law. We'll talk about it in the synagogue. We'll talk about it on this radio show. Make sure everybody know. And we'll go from there, because everybody's keeping it very differently. If you came from any branch of Christianity, they probably never kept it. If you came from, like, the witnesses, they think they keep it, but they don't keep it. You know, a good friend of mine, she grew up doing that, and, you know, they just get up some bread and wine and pass it over to each other and nobody eat it. Like, that's not the Passover. Some people just get bread and wine. That's not the Passover. You know, that's what's known. That's what some people call communion, representing the Messiah's body and blood that was shed and broken for us. But that's not the Passover. The Passover was happening way before the Messiah came on the scene 2,000 years ago. They was keeping the Passover. For thousands of years before that, what were they doing? They were eating lamb and unleavened bread and bitter herbs on the 14th day of the first month, right? And it was a feast to celebrate the Most High passing over our houses when he killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. That's the Passover, all right? And as we know, spiritually, it represented as far as the sacrifice of that lamb represented the Messiah coming being our sacrifice. That is the Passover. All right. So we have to have unleavened bread on the Passover, like with our meal. The Passover is a meal commemorating that great event of our houses being passed over, you know, and the Most High saving us and rescuing our people out of the land of Egypt. That's the Passover. That's what the Passover is about. All right. But yeah, so definitely, again, always join us on this show. And yeah, my brother didn't call in, I was looking for, but it's all good. We just don't have a conversation concerning baptism, different things like that. But it's all good. But definitely join us again next Monday. I'm going to go out with a song and join us next Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same number. And let me cue up my song real quick. Give me a second. Yep, same number, and shalom, shalom.
KK on the track.
I got that Ruah Haka dash, making Satan getting mad, cause I'm barely doing my dad, and the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad, when we finna get a bag, been about to put a mask, cause you know it's the Shabbat. I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, we got that Ruah, they got that Ruah, she got that Ruah, they got that Ruah. I got the Ruah Haka dash. Gotta have faith, I must see. Blessing for your mother. People, you should too, if you knew what this world would do to you. Because since I ate it too, but we got the Ruah. I got that Ruah Haka dash, making Satan getting mad, cause I'm barely doing my dash, and the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad, when we finna get a bag, been about to put a mask, cause you know it's the Shabbat. I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, we got that Ruah, they got that Ruah, she got that Ruah, they got that Ruah.
I know y'all tired of the dealing and killing for my insurance. But Rollins, you believer, receiver, we got the spirit.
Turn back the statutes and laws and the commandments. And if we do so, we do damage all on this planet. Cause we chosen, we glowing like oil sheen on a protein. That Ruah Haka dash, cause the reason for my flowing. We posting, no roaches, we so lit, we go get the most out behind us. So nothing we can't win.
I got that Ruah Haka dash, making Satan getting mad. Cause I'm barely doing my dad, and the most I got my bag. Hey, happy, don't be sad, when we finna get a bag. Been about to put a mask.
I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, I got that Ruah, we got that Ruah, they got that Ruah, she got that Ruah, they got that Ruah.
This for Ruben,
this for Ruben,
this for Dad.